Testing. All right, testing. Is it on? Can you hear me back there good? Brother David, maybe he won't have to run up here and mess with it. See, like when I'm up here, he has to. I don't get it right. Well, it always is an honor to stand here. I wanted to give y'all a little updated report on Bryce. I was thinking about it. My son Bryce was in the first grade when the Lord led us and opened the doors in such a way we got to come to Bible Baptist Church. And me and Deborah are so grateful, so thankful, Lord, that he led us this way to this these people and Brother Chris, our preacher. And but he was in the first grade, so he went through the Sunday school department from that age, and then junior high and high school. He did, you know, you're a big product. You invested in him and in his life. And so yesterday he turned 22. It was his birthday. He was 22 years old, and he's spending the summer on a 10-week internship in Wiley, Texas, in New Heights Baptist Church there. And a man, they're putting him through it. They're getting him a crash course. They have him every other Sunday night. He preaches the Sunday night sermon. He preaches every other Sunday night. But the Sundays that he's not preaching, those Sundays he leads the singing. Now, he is not musically inclined. Me and his mom, he says, "Oh, Daddy, torture me. They videoing it, they're making me watch myself." And then he is not. But he's leading the congregation, and they've got him in the choir. They've got him on a man's ensemble group. And he said, that preacher said, "Hey, if you go start a church or plant a church, you may have to do, you know, a preacher has to do all these things at the beginning churches." And he's really working on Bryce. And Bryce is loving it. He really is. He teaches every Sunday. He teaches a different Sunday school class. He's scheduled across all the different ages, and he teaches, you know, Sunday school lessons on Sunday morning, every Sunday, and then every other Sunday, like I say, he brings the message on Sunday nights, and then he visits with the preacher, you know, during the week, and he's living with some of the families. He spends a great deal of time with his one family so far. I think there's some more he's scheduled to be with, but he's loving being, knowing them, and he's really loving it. With him on the voice, he says he's busy, but he's in the ministry. He's getting a taste of it, and that's what God has called him to do, you know. So just keep him in your prayers, and I thank you all for, really, from the bottom of our hearts, mine and Deborah's, for the investment, you know, in his life. And we're so proud of what the Lord is doing with him, you know. Well, if you have your Bibles, if you would, for me, go with me to the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6. This is, of course, this chapter, in this chapter happens the big account of Daniel in the lion's den. But we're briefly going to mention anything about that. There's something else in here, some, I think, real valuable lesson here to see in Daniel chapter 6. Title I would give of this lesson, I always love titles. I've been a children's church minister, pastor now. I can't believe going on over 40 years working the Lord to use me in the children's ministry, and the titles have been a big part. And I've given titles to lessons, or I challenge the kids to remember those titles. And my hope is, of course, by remembering the title, something that was taught from the Word, it resonates in the mind. But anyway, my title tonight would be in the form of a question. And here it is. Could you and I be found guilty? Could you and I be found guilty? Okay? So I hope y'all become clear here in a sec. Daniel chapter 6, beginning in verse 1, says, "It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the prince might give an account unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and the prince, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and the prince sought to find an occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him." So we'll start there with a second. So we see here this king, the king of Persia, Nebuchadnezzar had came and taken Daniel as a little boy out of Jerusalem and had taken him captive to Babylon. But Nebuchadnezzar, he had died, and another king had came on the realm in Babylon. And then now this is King Darius from Persia, and he's taken over the realm here in Babylon. And he has set forth this system where he's got these princes and these three presidents that everybody looks to, and he's pretty smart, I guess, in a way, because it says he would have no damage. All these princes and presidents would listen to all the affairs and take care of all the needs, and you know, him as the king, he wouldn't have to worry with any of it. And then it says here that he was thinking about putting Daniel, he was one of the three presidents, and he was thinking about putting him over the whole realm, that he would be elevated to be just right under the king, you know, that he would be elevated above. And that didn't set well with the rest of the other presidents and all those princes. It didn't, you know, here it is, this captive little boy that came captive years ago from Judah, from Jerusalem, and now then here he is in the Chaldeans of the land of Babylon, and he's rising up, and now then it's looking like he's going to be over it all. And so they don't like it very much at all. And it says they begin to look and search for something they could have against him, something that he could be found guilty in, something that he could be held against about his service in the kingdom, about how he represented, you know, himself and how he served the king. Well, what's interesting to me is here, so it says that they could find nothing. They could find nothing to come to him that he didn't faithfully serve this king in his foreign land, or faithfully serve that country and that land. They could find nothing. They said they could find couldn't find anything, you know, to be held against him. And if you would, for me, if you keep your place there, we'll be back in just a sec here in Daniel. But if you go to Matthew 17, and I want to show you something that Jesus now, our Lord and Savior Jesus, something that he's teaching his disciples here that we'll read about here. But of course, it's for us today. We're the disciples of our Lord today. So he was teaching the disciples then, but of course it's for us. But it says this in Matthew 17, verse 24. It says, and when they will come to Capernaum, they that received tribute money came to Peter and said, does not your master pay tribute? And he said, yes. And when he was come into the house, Jesus prevented him, saying, what thinkest thou, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Of their own children or of strangers? Peter said unto him, of strangers. And Jesus said unto him, then are the children free? But look at verse 27. Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea and cast a hook and take up the fish that first cometh up. And when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. That take and give unto them for me and thee. So he tells the disciples, he tells him here, hey, you know, we'll grow. You're living in the realm of the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire, the earthly Roman Empire is in charge right now, the time that Peter and them are here. And Jesus, I believe he's trying to say, look, yes, well, yes, the kingdom of heaven is your ultimate. That's what we live for, an ultimate thing. But he said, down here on the earth, when you're on the earth with the Roman Empire, we're going to be the best citizens we can be. He tells them, go get that fish, you know, and they're going to find a pearl, and they'll be able to pay the taxes needing to be paid to the Roman government. But when I see that, I think about Jesus is teaching a principle about to be the, you know, just the best for down here. And I think about that, and you know, as a Christian, as a born-again Christian, I just believe we ought to be the best employees that an employer could have to hire, you know? The very best should be a born-again Christian. Ones that are honest and true and representing the Lord. It ought to be, our young people ought to be taught, and we are going to, that the very best employees, the ones that are always on time, the ones that are faithful, the ones that promote the business, the ones that do it should be the born-again Christian. You know, they should have that built into them. I'm going to do the best, represent my Lord. And see, we're doing it here on the earth, but we're representing our Lord Jesus Christ. We're representing Him. You know, and so that's, I believe that's something He's trying to teach us here. And that Daniel, we're going to see, he knew that and saw that here in chapter 6 of Daniel. One other place in Matthew, Matthew 22, the Pharisees now are going to try to trick Jesus, they're trying to trap him. They try to get him to say one thing and reflect against something else. They always are trying to trip him up. But I love his answer here in Matthew 22, verse 17. It says, "Tell us, therefore, what thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not?" But Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, "Why tempt me, you hypocrites? Show me the tribute money." And they brought unto him a penny. And he said unto them, "Whose is the image and the superscription?" They said unto him, "Caesar's." Then said he unto them, "Render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." When they had heard these words, they marveled, and they left him and went their way. They marveled at how much he said an answer. He just saying, you know, you can be the best kind of citizen, the best kind of servant, the best kind should be those that are following our Lord. Should be he set up everything, and we ought to be able to be that kind of person. I believe with all my heart and be that kind of citizen. When we get back to Daniel chapter 6, this is an important verse, verse 5 here. It says in verse 5, "Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God." So now then says, we couldn't find any occasion against him on how he served the king and how he was doing his duties and how he was doing the stuff here. He says, but hey, they said, there may be some way we can find him guilty. Maybe and they said, it will only be in how he serves and how he's faithful and how he serves his God. Okay, and so I want to skip down to verse 10, and it says in verse 10 of Daniel there, it says, "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open into his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed, and he gave thanks before the God as he had done in the aforetime." So we see here Daniel praying, it says his custom, he'd done it, he always had prayed, and 3 times a day had went and prayed and opened his windows up. He's 500 more so miles away in Babylon, but he opens up his windows towards Jerusalem, where he had been taken away from, you know, years ago as that kid, and he's praying to God. And so we see what happens here is these guys, these presidents and these princes that are trying to find something to get Daniel, "You're guilty, Daniel. You're guilty of this. You're going to be found guilty of this." They're trying so much to find something that now then they have put something in motion. You know, they have placed and put something in motion that's led to verse 10. So if you read, if you start in verse 6, it's going to show you, Daniel says in verse 10, he says, "Now when he knew that the writing was signed." Well, verse 6 through 6 and on down is going to tell us about the writing, okay? It says, "Then these presidents and these princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto King Darius, 'Live forever.'" And here they kind of, they lie here when they say here, they say all the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the prince and the counselors and the captains has consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing, that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which alter not. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree." So we see They have placed this thing in motion. They said, hey, if we can't find him guilty in his character, if we can't find him guilty in how he serves here, if we can't find him guilty in these things, we're going to find it. We're going to put something in place that, hey, we're going to put what's he going to do now? He praised his God. He unashamedly stands and prays and calls out to his God. We're going to get this 30-day law, this special, this special statute passed that whoever does pray, they're going to be found guilty of that, of doing so. And it says that it was done and written. Daniel knew about it, and he. And in verse 10, he did it. He had always done, didn't he? He did it. And see, God makes a way for us. It looks like that we can't serve here, and we can't do this, we can't do that. God always makes a way. I remember years ago, I worked at TI right out of high school. Graduated out of high school and went right to work at Texas Instruments here in Lubbock. It was here at that time, I advanced up pretty. I worked on the semi line for the first few months, but the Lord, I got to advance up and got into material handling, doing stuff and the job there. And at that time frame in my life, I went to church. My mom and she kept me in church from the time I was a little baby all the way up. I went to church. But I made a couple. I had two false professions of faith when I was five and when I was like 16. I hadn't really got to surrender my heart to the Lord. I hadn't really turned my life to the Lord and surrendered it truly. Well, when I was 20 years old, I got that settled. I got that settled down and got it sure to the fact that Jesus had came to my heart. And then at that time, I got to start going to church in Lubbock. I was single at that time and stuff, and I was going to work at a church that had a big shorter ministry. They ran like 10 buses at that time, 10 to 12 bus ministry around the city, and I got to work in with the, started working with the kids, but I remember I was trying to do my best and do for the Lord as I could, and I was doing involved in that. Well, I went with TI and we went on, and like I said, the Lord had blessed me. I had a job that. You're supposed to have a college degree. If you had this certain material handler job, the requirements are, you're supposed to be that. I never had no college, nothing. I barely made out of high school. I mean, my sister was a straight A student lady, and I was the opposite. I was the one that, didn't get it. He had blessed me, and I had this position. Well, this guy, they came in at TI, they came in with this new guy was taking over the whole warehouse department. And he had this big meeting, and I remember him saying, okay, we got to get things flowing right here, so once a month, we're going to break you up in teams, and once a month, you're going to have to serve on a weekend team. Everybody's going to do this, he said. Everybody has to do this. So once a month, you're going to be on a team that has to work Saturday and Sunday. Saturday and Sunday happens, you're going to work on that team. And to be fair, everybody has to, has to be involved in that once a month thing. Well, I remember going to my supervisor saying, hey, I can't do that. I know what he's saying. It's unfair to do that, but I'm not going to be. I can't be there on the Sunday. I can't. I'll be glad to work if you let me work every Saturday. If you want me to work the Saturdays, and if you have to work the Saturdays stuff, but I cannot and will not be there on the Sunday. He said, Stacy, I don't know what's going to happen. How the Lord works. I show you that it got. Of course, it got to that divisional guy. About me saying, and all of a sudden, I'm called in, and I'm told, Stacy, you're no longer reporting to this guy. You're reporting to a guy in Dallas. Here's his phone number. You're on a daughter, you report, you have your same job, you do your same thing, you do the thing you're doing there, but you no longer report to him. You report to this guy over there. And by me not reporting to that guy anymore, I didn't have to do the Sunday thing. I didn't have to meet the requirement of doing the Sunday thing. What an amazing thing. That's what Daniel said. He said, hey, I'm going to do what I've always done. I'm going to pray. I'm going to be guilty. You can find me guilty in this. You can find me guilty in being what I'm going to do. I'm going to do it for my Lord. And when you do that, God takes care of it, doesn't he? He takes care of it. Man, I have debated with myself. I've argued with myself about this one other thing. This is so amazing to me. I hope you take it around. I'm not saying this as meaning anything about, hey, look, you know, like Brother Stacy, is any kind of good thing. It's, oh, geez, God, that's amazing to me. Same thing with T.I. I had advanced up in there, and we were making calculators and watches and home computers, and that place, that big site where Brother Roy works at X-Fab over here in North Lubbock, a big plant there. We were turning out all kind of, at one time, I think Lubbock had like 7,500 people worked at the site, the TI or whatever stuff. It was a major place at that time before it left Lubbock. And I was doing these big Cincinnati machines that made these molded up, these things for calculators, to shape the calculators, plastic molded machines, and I was scheduling these things and doing the stuff, and all of a sudden they had me going to a monthly meeting that the president or the site president guy was in the meeting and talking about the stuff, and all the people were showing the stuff, and I was going to the meeting, but I never said anything. I never had to prepare any numbers. I never had to show in to do anything. I just had to be at the meeting. I was told to go to the meeting. And man, it was about 2 hours long. And I hated going to that meeting because it always put me so far behind or so far off of what I was doing, you know, need to do. I didn't want to go to that meeting. And I sat there and all these guys and stuff around there, and I thought, man, what am I doing in this meeting? I never contribute nothing, you know? So I asked my supervisor several months ago, I told him, man, why do I have to go to this thing? I said, I don't present anything, I don't turn anything, you know, so it takes up so much time, why do I have to be there? This is the most amazing thing to me. God, this is how God works. This is the most amazing, it really is. He said, well, Stacy, myself, I mean, the division of my boss, the division guy, he's told me that the main president guy here, he's noticed that there was a couple of times through the year that you didn't get to make the meeting, that you had to do other things. And that he's noticed that if you're not in the meeting, they turn into big cussing fights. The meetings, everybody's cussing, everybody's fighting, everybody's arguing about this and who does that. And there's nobody. He said, but Stacy, when you're in the meeting, there's no cussing going on. There's no fighting going on. There's no that going on. I said, what? What do you say? What? Yeah. You know, when you're there. What? You know, I tried. I mean, I tried doing that to be a good testimony. I'd be at my work, you know. Like people would be at it. They'd start telling their dirty jokes. They'd start laughing at the stuff. I'd excuse myself and walk away, you know. I'd go away and not be with that. We had a lot of people. But I can remember we had a lot of people coming to church. They'd come to church with the stuff. But the most amazing thing, he said, Stacy, the reason you have to be at this crazy meeting, it's just a testimony of something that people are seeing sensing around there. And I thought, man, what? That's what Daniel's saying. What Daniel's saying here? What an opportunity we have to just represent our Lord in such a way, you know, just to love Him and just serve Him and then we'll never know the impact that we can have and do have around others if we'll just do that, you know. I love this church, man. I love this church. Is Brother Chris, I know his message on Sunday was so much about the kind of people, the flock that we have here at Bible Baptist Church, and the testimony this church has and stuff. And me and Deb were in the children's church back there, so we always watch Sunday when we get home Sunday afternoon. We always watch the stream of it, or watch the stream of the service from Sunday morning and stuff. And it's so true. We have such an awesome church here. What about David at? Is he in here? Oh, there it is. I remember his grandkids, I mean, his daughter's here, and his grandkids are here and stuff. Talk about testimonies and stuff. I remember him back years ago. I'm 66 now, and I was probably about 26 at this time frame in my life. But I had opportunities, like I said, I was single at the time, and I was making, the Lord was blessing me, making good money at the TI place I was doing, and I got to travel, start traveling, and going to all kind of meetings and hearing all kind of great preachers and preaching. And I remember I got to two or three times, and I got to go to my preacher, Brother Ross Spencer, and go hear a West Texas Fellowship. And one of the guest preachers would be David Jenkins from Coma. He'd be the guest preacher, and Brother Spencer would go, "Oh boy, it's going to get wild today. It's going to be going today." And I said, "Who? Oh, Brother David is really?" I look forward to it. I got a lot from him, Brother David. He was passionate, boy. He would get those preachers, and he would get on his message, and he would get after it, folks. He would operate. Brother David would let it go, but he was a blessing, a major blessing to me back then, and today, what a blessing he is here, you know, Bible Baptist Church with us here, and preacher Brother Chris, we got such a great preacher, man. Well, let's get this finished up here, huh? Daniel. So Daniel. He stood, he prayed, and you know, they hold it against him. Now they tell the king that, "Hey, we found him. You found this one going against the law." And King Darius, he tried everything he could to not have to hold to Daniel having to be found guilty to it, because he loved, admired Daniel, his testimony, but he had signed it. It was going to have to happen, you know. And then, of course, you read on. They throw Daniel into the den of lions. And remember, the lions then, it wasn't like lions we go look at a zoo. We go look behind a cage where they've been fed all day, and they've been pampered and bushered up and shaved and prettied up. And we go look at them at a zoo, or go ride through a safari trail, and we get to see the lions. These weren't those kind of lions. The lions they had in this case, these were in the dungeons that they starved these lions. They were starved and just barely kept alive, and all their purpose was just whoever was the one facing that punishment, you know, of being thrown into the den of the lions, they were just going to meet the fury of the lions. You know, that's the only lions that were at that thing. And they throw Daniel, you know, into the lions there and stuff. And then let's come back at it. I like what the king says here. Then the king went to, let's see, it says in verse 17, and a stone was brought and laid upon, oh no, verse 16. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake, and he said unto Daniel, "Thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee." Boy, that king is saying that. Talking about the God. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of its lord, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed all the night fasting, neither were the instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste into the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, "O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions?" Then said Daniel unto the king, "O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me, forasmuch as before him innocent was found in me. And also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt." Then was the king exceedingly glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. You know, what an amazing story. And it closes out with King Darius giving out a big decree that all the nation is to follow and to learn and serve and honor the true living God. The testimony that Daniel portrayed was just amazing. And we have that same chance today, folks. We really do. In this world, the way it's getting today, we can shine like a bright light. We really can. We can stand true, and we can Well, we can be found guilty like Daniel, and we need to be found guilty. We need to be found guilty in the sense that we're going to follow our Lord in every step. We're going to stay true to this book, you know, to this word, and we're going to honor Him and follow Him and serve Him and let Him direct us, you know. In closing, let me read you this. Matthew 5, verse 14. Let Jesus tell us, kind of like our marching orders. Chapter 5, verse 14. Jesus is speaking here. It's in red here in our Bibles. It says, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto them that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify" who? "Your Father which is in heaven." That's the main thing, huh? Glorifying our God. Daniel, you were found guilty. Well, I'm saying today in Slayton, Texas, here at Bible Baptist Church tonight, huh? Could you and I be found guilty of how we serve our Lord? How we honor Him, how we respect and love Him, and how we stand for Him. My prayer is that we could be that desire. And the thing is, it comes from Him. He gives us strength. He gives us ability. It's nothing of ours, but just be found guilty for Him. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for the time we've had tonight. Thank you for just your word. Thank you for the story out of Daniel that we get to look to and learn from. And you, Lord, most of all, for your words in Matthew and how you teach and train us in your word so much. Thank you, Lord, that you let us represent you, Lord. God, that we get to be a testimony and a light in a world that needs it so much. A world that is so out of control, and a world that is so turned away from things that they should be seeking. And so, Lord, help us shine and be true and do our best, Lord, to just be that example to those around us. Lord, I know in my life you've shown so true that there can be so much said about we never realize, so much that we don't even know that you can be doing, Lord, if we'll just be willing to let you use our life, Lord, to shine for you. So bless our people. Bless these ones mentioned in the hospital, Miss Naomi, Lord. She is such a blessing, and we just pray for her now, Lord, this time in her life, Lord. And be it Brother Frank Johnson's family, our preacher especially, as he's so close to being with Brother Frank, to bless him and comfort his heart, Lord, and be with that service coming up Tuesday of that great man, Lord, that he be honored and his memory be put forth there at Brother Clark's church. And Lord, again, just see us all home safely tonight, Lord, as we head to our places, and then help us, Lord, this rest of the week, just be the tiny example, Lord, that you would have us to be, Lord. Bring us all back Sunday. Watch over our campers. Bring them back with safety coming back from camp. And Lord, how we just love you in everything. We give you the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.